Welcome to the catch up. It's Tuesday. You buried the hatchet with Matt Preston today, MasterChef judge. You guys are feuding, according to the Daily Mail, Ed Cavalli.
A bit of a beat up there, but it was a bit of fun. He comes on the quiz show. We have a couple of gags back and forth. It's all in good fun, isn't it, Robin?
Yes, it is. I love Matt Preston.
Why didn't Matt Preston back George Kalambaras up that day at the soccer? Imagine that. You get a quick one from George and then Presto's over the top, piling in.
Yeah, I don't know if he was there, but that was a bit of fun. Rich Uncle Mal, he's always good too. He was good.
Talking puppy dogs, whether they like men or women better.
It was quite interesting. I was shocked at the result. I thought women were going to win that, and it looked like men came out on top in the end. It was quite interesting.
Plus, Sportsbet are really stirring the pot with their performance-enhancing ad. We had the marketing...
Cash out!
Marketing, not that one. The marketing manager on to discuss that. Very interesting, his take on things. Enjoy the catch-up. We'll catch you tomorrow from 5.30 on Brisbane's Triple M.
This Marto, Ed and Robin catch-up for sellmycar.com.au. Sell your car without the aggro. Book an appointment today.
Good morning to you, Ed. Hello to you, Robin and Marto. I'm up and about this morning. I've been on the rower, and I've just enjoyed a nice, black, hot cup of Kagoshima Japanese tea. helps keep me looking young and wonderful.
How did you spend Mother's Day, Rich Uncle Mal?
Well, I love Mother's Day, Ed. It's a time to celebrate the most essential and most exhausting task, and that is being a mother. Luce and I threw open the doors to the palazzo, and Daisy and her wonderful children, my grandchildren, Jack and Alice, came up. And, I mean, Jack does keep me on my toes. Don't touch that, mate. It's a priceless Ming vase. Why is that lady's eyes all funny? Because she was painted by Pablo Picasso, mate. What's in that bottle? It's called Grange. No, children can't drink it. It's for grown-ups. Important grown-ups. All over the house, every drawer, every cupboard, and all the difficult questions, too. Why is water wet? Where do babies come from? What are shadows made of? So I thought I'd return fire. How long am I going to be leader? You know, when will the budget be in surplus? What's going on inside Tony's head and straight back into Mum's arms? There you go. Questions that can't be answered, little Jacko.
What have you been up to in the past week?
Well, it never stops, Robin. Meet and greet here, opening there, press conference, International Nurses Day just a couple of days ago, and constant cups of tea and little sandwiches. And that's what I want to speak about, little sandwiches. Yes. I mean, if the plate's offered to you, you can't peruse for too long or you look fussy. And you can't go fingering the sandwiches to see what's in them. So I just reach out and grab, hopefully it's going to be some white bread with chicken and mayo. But often it's egg and lettuce. Yeah. Who puts egg and lettuce on a sandwich? It makes me want to scream. I mean, it could be worse. It could be, you know, a corned beef sandwich with lettuce and tomato. Yeah, I mean, I feel like saying to the ladies, I'm from Point Piper. Do I look like a train driver?
I know.
Sir, back to things of national interest. The budget, $5 billion for Badgerys Creek, the Western Sydney Airport. It's going to become a reality, yeah?
It is happening. I can tell you that. I recently opened the Northrop Grumman Centre for Excellence. I mean, really, what is a centre for excellence? I mean, what kind of thing is that? Are you going to open a centre for above average or a centre for as good as we could do or a centre for ask about? I mean, I tell you who should open a centre for excellence, and that's little Georgie Kalambaras. I mean, underpaying workers, stoushes at the footy, and now a food poisoning outbreak. They say beware of Greeks bearing gifts, or in George's case, bearing hors d'oeuvres.
Okay.
Giving him a clip on the way through.
We've got to let you go, mate. What's a little song in your head at the moment?
Absolutely. I rolled over the other night and I just started singing to Lucy a bit of Vance Joy. You're the fire and the flood. Everything is fine when your hand's resting next to mine.
What a rendition. We've got to let you go.
Before I go, I just want to say the Triple M rocks the Gindalee DFO.
Oh, yeah.
Get out there and get some cheap clobber. Good on you. You're great guys and great constituents.
Hey, I think we all know advertising's part of our world.
It
surrounds us and everything.
Bills.
And for better or for worse, we got rid of tobacco advertising a long time ago. You wonder where the alcohol advertising might go. But right now, the big one that seems to pump a lot of money into a lot of things is gambling advertising. Mm. Whether you like it or not, there's a very funny one that runs around. Sportsbet are some of the cleverest ads around. You might know them, ones like this.
They are unstoppable.
It's all over, mate. Can't lose from here.
There it is! The curse! Come on, cash out!
Hold the phone!
Right, So, you know, if you ever heard them, cash out. That guy's voice is
okay. Yeah,
very familiar, especially if you watch any sport, Robin. He is everywhere, the sports bet at.
Okay.
All right. On the weekend, they've obviously decided, or they and their advertising agency, has decided to go in a different direction. And they're saying that we've really souped up our sports bet app. Okay, we've really made it go to that extra level. And they've started to use Ben Johnson, who some would remember is the disgraced winner of the 100 metre track and field event at the 88 Seoul Olympics. All right, had it stripped from him. That is, do your maths, how many years ago?
A long time.
29. Here's the sports bet ad that's upsetting a lot of people.
This is Ben Johnson, 88 Games, 100 metre gold medalist.
Hi, I am Ben Johnson, 88 Games, 100 metre gold medalist.
Ben's an expert in performance enhancement, which is why he's endorsing Sportsbet's juiced up new Android app that you can download in a record-shattering 10 seconds.
It goes
faster.
So they're saying it's a faster app, therefore it gets you onto the odds and gets you with your.
And he's taken the absolute mickey out of the fact that he was done for being a drug busted.
Is that clear to anyone, Ed?
Yeah. That's the. I mean, the implication and the joke is he knows about performance enhance or whatever it is. So
yeah.
They're trying to allude to the fact that he was banned for drugs, and he's over the years. Ben Johnson has said, "Yes, I was on it, but so was everyone else in the race." And since that day, is it 6 of the 8 have gone for retrospective
that's
drug
tests?
And the cleanest one of them all, the one who's untouchable, Carl Lewis. There is a lot of smoke around that fire.
Anyway,
Robin,
don't. You're not allowed to say that.
Stuff.
You're not allowed to say that.
Well,
he goes on and says, "I put the roid into Android," and it's obviously a whole. It's a Mickey take
the
whole thing.
Yep.
Can't everyone see that?
Why? What's happened?
Oh, our sports minister, that Nick Xenophon, the bloke who dyes his hair black, senator who has no friends anyway. Oh, he's carried on about it last night. Oh, this is a disgrace. This is an outrage. And then, of course, the sports minister goes, "Ooh, Nick Xenophon. So I better agree with him." And he's had this. This is Greg Hunt. This is the knob who's our sports minister.
"It was a cheap trick. Pull the ad, apologise, and donate to junior sport."
Okay. Apologise?
Yeah. What for?
What for? Who, exactly.
No. Like, legitimately, what they're thinking, it's what, a bad reflection for our children?
A bad example for children. Nobody knows who the fat black guy is in the ad. Like, it's Ben Johnson. He's now put on a lot of weight, and the children don't care. They're going to do one with Lance Armstrong. They're going to do one with Chinese swimmers. They're going to do one with Eastern European runners. See what happens then.
But isn't that the Australian way? I mean, isn't one of the greatest things about our country is that we can actually poke fun at ourselves? Have we not seen the lamb ad?
That's right.
Like, that's the whole gig.
That is
what
I
we do
true.
More than anyone else in the world
Thank
is poke
you.
Fun and go, "Look at us, we can laugh at ourselves."
It's what makes us Australian. We're so far away from everyone else, therefore we can make fun of ourselves.
What do you reckon it is, Ed? I kind of feel like with social media is that if you have to have an opinion, the easiest one is to be outraged.
Yeah, once there started to be currency in outrage, things got worse. So once you could start forcing people to apologise, and you could force people into losing jobs.
Oh, you corner them.
And once that became a sport, Robin, and it is a sport, then that's when the pack mentality takes over. And even if this is the thing, I've never actually met anyone in real life
who's outraged.
A conversation with them, who's actually outraged by something like that.
Because people get on with their life. Normal people just get on with their life and
Do you
want to
find out?
Sports bet ad.
I mean, this is kind of an interesting survey to do, because if our politicians are standing up there and saying they're outraged, then they must believe that they're representing a certain amount of people. So we could do a quick poll right now.
Is there anyone outraged or does it offend you? What do you want?
Yeah, there you go.
Chris from Everton Park, what do you reckon?
Yeah, mate, I reckon it's a bit over the top. I mean, I'm more outraged about the fact that people are outraged about it.
I think we're with you. Yeah, no, Chris, that makes sense. I mean, it's meant to be a joke, Chris, and it was in 1988. Like, you're seriously, is that what we're going to be upset about? Is it? You know, it's over. It's past.
Okay, let's keep going. Let's see what this poll leads. Hello,
Damo
of Clear Mountain.
G'day, how you going?
Good. What do you reckon?
Oh, look, I get the joke, and I think if it was 3 or 4 blokes sitting around at the pub having a beer, it'd be hilarious. But at a national ad campaign, it just undermines the integrity and the lack of integrity that we've got involved in sport today. I mean, if it was a rugby league campaign and it was white line fever, I mean, would that
funny.
Be appropriate? It'd be funny at the pub, but they'd never do it. It's the same thing. It's just, I think it's just rude.
Yeah, I think that's
interesting.
I mean, Damo, I think that's kind of, who's got faith in in major sports these days, like the Olympics and FIFA? Are you like, I don't, or the NRL Integrity Commission? I don't have faith in those bodies. Do you?
Well, I wouldn't enrol my kids to play. They play netball.
There you go.
Is that right? Good on you, Damo. And athletics. I love the fact that you have a disagreement.
Sorry, Robin, but also athletics. Who trusts athletics? Are you kidding? Robin, they're saying that they might get rid of all of their world records from before 2005 because they can't be sure which ones were performance enhanced and which ones weren't.
And that's the same with swimming too, isn't it? After the suits and getting rid of all the suits and saying the records don't hold from that time.
Let's not forget where sports gambling's mainly started. Horse racing.
Yeah.
Integrity.
Tell you who we do have. The man in charge of putting those ads to here is your Sportsbet General Manager of Marketing, Luke Waldron. Quiet morning for you, mate.
Good morning.
Did you hear those callers, Luke?
Yes, I did. Yes.
So, mate, we're behind you. We're saying, how could it possibly offend anyone? But it probably does.
Yeah, look, I think that, there's a couple of callers here. I think it was a bit mixed. We've had an overwhelming positive response. And as always, you sort of get the PC police come out and they're a vocal minority and we have to converse there as well.
But you knew what you were doing. To put Ben Johnson up there, you knew it was going to be controversial, yes?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But you've got to keep it in perspective. Like, the guy's 55 years old. 29 years ago, he did this. He's certainly paid his penance, lost his gold medal, probably lost millions in sponsorship. Exactly. And I think, you know, we live in a society where we can forgive and move on. I'd like to think, anyway.
Hey, are you still going to push ahead with using Lance Armstrong for some similar ads?
That's just a vicious rumour, I think.
Oh. No, you guys put out. So, because it's working, though, isn't it, Luke? Here we are at 7:18 on a major breakfast radio show, you know, in a major city in Australia, and we're talking about sports bets, so it's working.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, one of our big ambitions is to give people a laugh, have a bit of entertainment, keep it down to earth, and I think we're doing a good job of that at the moment.
So you're not going to pull the ad?
No, definitely not. I mean, I think the public would be just offended. We've just got to give them more credit.
I agree with you. I mean, come on. This is an ad about a guy who lost his gold medal millions of years ago. I mean, who gives a crap? I mean, I was more offended by Catoot and Rhonda's relationship. that didn't seem to be based on anything real, Rhonda.
Well, he was feeding her alcohol, then trying to race her home.
He was feeding her booze.
Yeah, but it worked.
It did. Luke, thanks for your time, mate.
Cheers, mate.
Thank you, guys. See you, bye.
Well, we were talking to Jason yesterday, who gave us a call and told us his story about buying and selling property.
I was a third-year apprentice, and I was 22 when I bought my first little property in Salisbury. Cheaper area, it was a little too better. I lived with mum and dad while the tenants paid it off for me.
That's the way.
And so now, as you've got older and so on, have you kept upgrading? What happened?
We followed an investment guru. We got so far in debt, we were like $3.5 million in debt, and my wife was crying every night, and property was like breaking my back. Yep. We sold it all, realised that wasn't for us, and we bought 25 acres out at Sampson Vale, and we live in a little piece of heaven.
There's a story there, and it started with Ross Greenwood talking to that Tim Gerler, who was an investment guru, a billionaire on Sunday night on 60 Minutes. Here's Channel 9's Money Man. He's back now. Ross, you heard that tale from he was a young electrician bloke. What do you reckon?
I absolutely shuddered. I mean, can anybody work this out? $3.5 million worth of debt. Yep. Now, you know, just do the calculations over, you know, principal and interest loan, the basic principal and interest loan, based over 25 years, your monthly repayments are $18,474.
Oh my God.
Get that. So you just sit there and just work that out in your head. Now, you don't have to be Einstein to work out that whoever was the guru who is giving that person advice needs to be basically locked up. That's what it comes down to.
Yep.
Now, the reason for that is because that person has been thoroughly negligent in the way in which this is done. You know, property, and this is a sales pitch, my first advice to anybody is stay away from the seminars. Anybody who's got a property buying seminar, just don't go, right? Number one. Number two, if you're going to do this, do it yourself. But understand, property prices do not always go up. They sometimes go sideways and sometimes, occasionally, they go downwards. But, you know, the fact of the matter is it's a market. And the truth is that this strategy will come unstuck if you lose your income, if you lose a tenant, or indeed if interest rates start to go up or if prices go down. So any of those scenarios, you're out of town. You're knocked out of the park.
Yep.
But I'm sitting there saying an electrician who was an apprentice, a young bloke, $18,474 a month in interest... you've got to sit there and say that is not very far away from being a very slippery slope on which you can fall down a big hole.
So how do you know then? Like, what's your own gauge as you're sitting in front of the bank and they're saying that they're going to loan you far more than you can possibly repay? What should be the point in which you say that's enough for you as an individual?
They're not allowed to do that. That's actually a funny thing. It's against the law for a bank to lend you money that they know you reasonably can't repay. Now, the problem is that many mortgage brokers out there these days, to try and fuel people's greed, let's call it that, will try and find ways around the system to basically allow people to have more money than what they can actually, you know, possibly pay back. So, but the fact of the matter is, this is all based on the fact that you go out and, you know, buy a property, you're going to get the rent, so that's added against your income. And so then you go and get another one, the rent from that, again, against your income. But as I say, if one of those properties goes bad and you don't get the income from that property or something is wrong because you've paid the wrong price or whatever it is, the house of cards falls over in a heartbeat. This is just not the first time this has happened. This has happened for 80 years in Australia, for goodness sakes. I mean, the Gold Coast is a classic example of where it happens so often. So all I'm just saying to people is right now when property prices are close to their peaks, be very, very careful, because it was back in the late, 1990s, 2000s, a bloke called Henry Kay in Melbourne did exactly this. And it was basically spivvy presentations telling people how you could use one property to buy another property, to buy another property, because property prices never fall. People, they do. They do fall. And if you're the person who's the forced seller, you're the one who ultimately has got to take the haircut.
I'll put my hand up. GFC cost me $500,000, $500,000. There you go. I'm still wearing that, and I'll never pay that. I'll never get rid of it.
See, these are the lessons that people have. I mean, I've had an apartment which has gone bad on me, and couldn't get a tenant and all that sort of stuff. So you've got to sell it at a loss.
You've had that happen to you, Ross Greenwood.
Absolutely. When I was a young bloke, absolutely. It was the first investment property I bought. And basically somebody got control of the body corporate, squeezed all the rest of us out. We had to sell it at a loss, and that's what happens. So you've got to understand, it's the market.
It's the market. Ross Greenwood, as always, clear, concise and full of great information. Channel 9's Money Man. Mate, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for your time.
Great to be with you.
Cavalier, you've got a baby on the way. One of the hardest parts of that is actually naming the child, I'd think.
Yeah, that's right. And we're doing a lot of research at the moment, and my wife's read hold on this for names for girls and boys. And Robin, you've named three children. Marty, you've had a hand in naming two at least. And I have to say that one of your kids' names, Marto, is very firmly in the mix for our child, if it goes one of the sexes, if you know what I mean, because we respect it. We think it's a great name. Here's the study. Three different universities have found out that the more interesting name, whatever you call interesting, bogan name, you give a child, the harder you make their life. Indicated that people with common name, Marquette University, people with common names are not seen as the least unique, but they are in fact the best liked, easy to remember, and more likely in a flat foot race to win a job over someone with an unusual name, Robin Bailey.
Okay, yeah.
Run it through the boardroom test is what they're saying to do. New York University says, if your child was to walk into a boardroom and they says, hello, what's your name?
Chappelle.
Oh, goodness me. Sit right down, Chappelle. Tell us more about boogie boarding. then if it doesn't pass that test, Robin Bailey, then think of something else. Chardonnay, they're saying, is a terrible name. Hennessy is a terrible name because they're too hard to remember. Crazy spellings, Robin Bailey, they're saying, are an absolute nightmare for people. Courtney, spelt C-H, and then I won't even bother with
the rest. The K's, the K Courtneys. See, my issue is the opposite to that. My issue is the fact that if you go into any classroom of children under the age of about 15, you'll get 10 Olivers, 6 Lachlans, 4 Joshuas, 10 Toms, you'll throw in a number of Charlottes, Elizabeths, Emily's. What? But if you've got, like, if you have to have, I'm Emily H, Emily J, and Emily P. Okay, and
just start a girl band. It's no problem at all. I don't think it's a problem because what you're doing is my father-in-law, so my illustrious father-in-law, wonderful server, 8th Dan Black Belt, he teaches kids all day, every day, and he said something the other day. He goes, oh, whenever a kid's got a difficult name, I can't be bothered learning it. It's too hard.
That's so true. Coaching kids' footy teams, that is exactly correct. The kids with the harder names you don't even care about so much.
Can I just check, of Marto's two children, Hillary and Harry, I'm guessing Harry is the one at the top of the list.
I won't be saying.
No, don't.
So Michael is from Daisy Hill.
Michael!
Morning, guys. How are you?
Makes sense to you, mate. Children with tough names, or bogan names we might also call them, don't find their way to the top?
Yeah,
not so much. I think it's okay to... My wife is a teacher. So every time you pick a kid's name, she's, oh, no, I had that kid, terrible kid, played up, yep. did whatever. So all of a sudden you're at a name that you've never heard, like Gertrude or something like that, because you never had one.
Yeah.
So you want something interesting. So my daughter was 3 days old and we still hadn't named her. My wife said, what about this name called Melise? I said, that's different. I haven't heard of it. It's not too out there like, I don't know, thorn or prickle or whatever you want to call it.
But my first question is, Michael, how do you spell it? And that's what Melise will have her whole life.
Well, this is what my wife did. When I said, throw me the baby book, I couldn't find it in the girl section. Mm-hmm. It's actually a boy's name, and it's Celtic.
How does it spell?
My wife, being a teacher, changed the name phonetically. So she spelled it M-A-L-E-E-S-E, as you would say it, Melise. Yeah.
Melise. Okay. See, well, I'm of the ilk of having a more unusual name. Rick of Brookfield.
You think it stands out, don't you?
I do. As long as you can pronounce it. If someone can't read it and work out how to actually say it, that's a problem. But if it's done phonetically, then I'm cool with it. Rick of Brookfield, what's the name?
Yeah, I was up in Toowoomba a few years back and there was a lady at a food court counter and she was talking to her baby named Capacity. Baby Capacity.
Wowzers.
Oh, I don't
can
like
I
that.
Guess that, Rick, can I guess that that woman wasn't ordering a salad? Can I be like that?
You can. There was a lot of lycra involved and it was all untidy.
Yeah,
and it was, thank you.
Capacity. Yeah, she read that in the hospital somewhere, didn't she?
Capacity.
The truck was backing up and said capacity 7 ton.
That's such an insult too. It's like a child's name. I know, but I'm saying it sounds.
Capacity's not listening.
It sounds like an exotic dancer, but like the last one on the roster. Oh, who's left? Drag out Capacity.
You're right.
Goodness me.
If the child's name sounds like a stripper or it could be attached to a car like a Mitsubishi Capacity, no. No more. No more. All right. Sorry if Capacity's listening.
Craig. Hello, Craig.
Yes.
Give us your name. Hello. What is it?
Western Rocket. And there's Blaze Jackson. And Stealth Knight.
Are these aircraft?
Stealth and Blaze.
There's four kids. I don't know their surname, but and there's a girl in as well. But the three boys are Western Rocket, Blaze Jackson, and Stealth Knight.
I tell you, who else has got a family of unusual names? Rebel Wilson. Rebel is in fact her real name.
Yeah, but Stealth Knight. What if she gets together with Stealth Knight and their kids are called Stealth Knight Rebel Wilson?
Jesus.
Right. You remember them?
No, for now. But when I leave here and you say, have you met Stealth Knight? I'll go, is he in the Avengers? Because if he's not...
Holy hell. Well, one more. Who's that?
Okay.
Please welcome Professor Stealth Knight.
No.
It's not happening.
It's not going to be
remember
not,
it.
It is not. Your Honour, well, how do you find the defendant? Guilty. Stealth Knight, do some time.
Currently joined in the studio by a man you're apparently feuding with, Ed Cavalier.
Mate, Matt Preston from MasterChef. I was on Have You Been Paying Attention last night. Matty, you and I are in a feud, buddy. I didn't know about it.
I didn't know about that either. The only feud I know about is there's a leadership spill coming with the Burger Club, the Brisbane Burger Club. And you may be out because I believe you've not been eating enough burgers, mate. I've yet to have any meetings. No AGM. I am shocked and stunned. Look, I'll come in. Is there burgers? No, I'm eating Marto's delicious, my wife's delicious spaghetti meatballs. There may well be a spaghetti meatball club. You may be out on the outer, mate.
Let's just go behind the curtain for a second because, Matt, you came into the studio and you were eating one of the meatballs that, Marto, that your lovely wife, Kath, had made you last night. And then you just so happened to take a phone call from Kath as Matt was standing there. Then what happened?
I put the phone. What did you say to her? Did you give her a bit of a boost?
No, I just said, you were a very, very lucky man. And I think everyone in Brisbane knows how lucky you are.
That's true.
But what they don't know is how good her cooking is, because that's something you kept under a bushel, isn't it?
Well, we'll have a look at the little gut I'm developing. Of course she's cooking.
Can I tell you a little story about Matt and I that you boys don't know?
Oh, hello.
Matt's been to my house.
Can we come back and hear that story?
Oh, if you want to.
Let's hear that story in a second because I just want to play this. Look, you'll see in the press today that apparently Matt and I both woke up today to realise that we didn't know we were feuding, but we're feuding over a joke that was made by some uncouth person on Have You Been Paying Attention last night. This is what went down.
At the end of the day, a restaurant is a restaurant. The people you're with are far more important.
Absolutely.
Ooh.
Yeah. Very good. A soul.
Yes.
Never met a soul.
You are so much calmer than George.
Yeah. We've had the talk. And we've all agreed.
That's the last one. Last one.
Is that it?
That was it.
That's it.
That's not a feud.
That's how feuds start. Someone says something. Someone says something. That I don't know. No, I'm not. I would never feud with. I've known Ed for when the first time I came into a radio station. He was the third name on the bill, and he was eating bran. He was eating cereal because he's Mr. Healthy. And I went, that's not what you eat. At breakfast radio, you eat cheese and ham toasties, mate, and a big cup of strong tea with lots of sugar. That's what breakfast radio does.
I never forget this. Matt gave us a recommendation. My wife and I. For a restaurant, we'd only been on a few dates. Yeah. We went there. She still talks about it. Why do we go to that restaurant where Matt Preston sent
and
us to?
And why don't you?
I go, darling, you're pregnant. I don't know if I could afford it at the moment.
No, number one, Tiff does not have a high-pitched, squeaky voice like that. Let's be honest, she's got a beautiful, mellifluous voice.
Yeah, all right,
you are getting yourself into so much hot water here. You know what? You know, a feud with me is nothing compared to
mate,
I'm pregnant
wife.
I'm
hungry for feuds. Now, listen, let's come back and find out why on earth was Matt Preston hanging around Robin Bailey's house? Hey, I want to know, though, Matt Preston, before you walked in the studio, Robin said, oh, yeah, Matt spent some time at my house. And Marta and I went, now, that's not something you've mentioned before. What was the situation, you two?
Okay, well, when Matt arrived, he had his cravat on. He was very together and looking amazing. By the time he left, he was dishevelled.
Totally
the
disheveled.
Cravat was off.
Wow.
He was sweating and he was running out the door.
Yeah, exactly. And I was slightly terrified. I've never been put through my paces in quite the same way.
Jesus. Wow.
Because what happened was, long story short, but when my husband Tony died, Matt was incredibly generous and sent me all of his cookbooks with little post-it notes, with little messages to my boys and to me, because knew that I'm a really shocking cook. So he was trying to help me, and he felt that was a lovely way to help me. So then the next time he came to Brisbane, he also offered cajoled / was made to come to my house and teach the boys how to do a meal.
That's better. Rather than just sending books, come and show us. Yeah, or at least bring some food.
Yeah, no, it was great. Because the boys have been cooking on Sunday. They'd pick a recipe. One of them pick a recipe, then they would cook for the other two, which is great. Oh, so they'd obviously had a bit of experience. We did some chicken in sweet chili sauce, which
they loved it.
Super simple. Then we tried to make a cheesecake. But Robin's house, you know, MasterChef Kitchen, we've got warehouses. You know, it's like filming Ecker. You imagine one of those big Ecker buildings full of equipment. We have three of them. Yeah. So there's everything you want in the MasterChef Kitchen.
Every tool.
Robin's house.
Not so much.
have you got a bowl? No. Have you got a whisk?
I do have a bowl, and I did have a whisk, but some of the electrical equipment either wasn't there or was broken, or you managed to break it, Matt Preston.
Or alternatively, it came out in a box written in ancient Latin. it was unbelievable.
Sunbeam.
And anyway, we ended up making a terrible mess, splashing cream cheese all over the kitchen, and we had a good feed. It was lots of fun.
How do they go, though, your kids now, Robin? Did Matt give them the love of preparing a meal?
The middle one, Lewin, who's now 15, he will volunteer to cook a meal, and he's got about three or four in his repertoire.
For other people? Because normally teenage boys will only cook for themselves.
Well, in our house, mate, if someone's going to go in the kitchen, they're cooking for everyone.
Yeah, right.
Jesus,
the wasteland in there, by the sound of it.
There's takeaway food now, and it's very good, and you can go and get your own acai bowl and stuff like that, Robin.
But can I ask you one question? Looking at the photos back then of you with my kids, and we can put them up and stuff so
people can see. Brisbane.
Why'd you grow a beard? Makes you look about 400 years older than you did.
Because I am 400 years
older. No, you're not.
I am a very old person, and people need to know that I am like Santa Claus or maybe Colonel Sanders. I'm an old bloke. The beard has divided a lot of people. It has. Some people love it. And other people, like my wife, are put like a, you know, there's like a date on the put down date. There's a time when the beard goes. So I'm just trying to debate when to go.
We speak that a lot. We speak to people about it. We've spoken to people before about
beards.
About ladies saying, right, that's it, having dates in their mind for their men to get rid of the beard. But did Channel 10 put any pressure on? Because you've got a beautiful head of hair. And it's black, but your beard's quite grey. Did they go, hey, listen, mate, you're the hunk here. We need you to look.
they would never say that because that would just be lying.
Look who you're up against, though.
You know what? There aren't many beards on telly. You know, not since Don Burke. There's not a lot of beards on TV. Don Burke and Charlie Pickering, I believe. That, you know,
there's not many bald heads either. Your show's amazing. It's got a baldy and a beardy.
No, there are way more bald heads than beards. I mean, this could easily be a whole phone-in topic here. But there's the weird thing about a beard is that once you grow a beard, you become part of a beard gang. And suddenly blokes, and the weirdest one I've had is, I grew a beard and all these tradies started coming to chat to me about how to roast an ox and stuff like that.
roast an ox?
You know, because that's what you're all, how to make panna cotta, which is another great tradie conversation. and the second or third time that happened, I said, look, it's weird, all these guys in high vis are now chatting to me. And he said, because now you got the beard, you don't look nearly so much of a dickhead. Yeah. So it's kind of like, all right, okay. The beard thing. There is a secret society of beards, and luckily at 10 there were a couple of big beard wearers who, when I was up here for Regional Flavours last year, did the project. Got two very nice, you know, love the beards from a couple of the high ups at
weedy
10.
Weedy beardies, you were about to call them, weren't you?
Weedy beardies. So when the production company came and said the network's really concerned about the beard, I said, well, actually that's really interesting. I've got tech small high ups at 10.
Yes,
so they love the beard. Really concerned about the beard? Is it me or is it you?
Because TV doesn't text like here change. I got a text from Waleed, says he loves it. So go stuff and get stuff to wear using the beard.
That's exactly right, yeah. And if Waleed says he likes it, then it goes.
Then it must happen. All right, Mr. Preston, MasterChef is on. It's going off.
Keep on propping up Ed's show too.
Yeah, will you?
No, it's a good show. We like the fact they're on after us. We like to give them an audience. It's
yeah,
good.
Exactly. We appreciate it, mate. Every viewer you can give us, we'll try and push away with a feud. That's what we're about. Thank you, Mr. Preston. Thanks, we will see you soon.
Hey, guys.
See you, mate.
Can we talk about sledging? Because I've never asked your opinion about sledging. It's been revealed this morning that the big melee that happened, if you're an AFL fan and were watching the Carlton St Kilda clash, you would have seen that there was a big punch-up that occurred.
Well, hang on. No.
There was no punches.
Well, it was a bit nasty.
It was pushes.
It was shoving and don't you do that. No, don't you do that. Do you have a little bit of audio of it, Brendo?
Bit of the fight, yeah.
It's on two, don't worry. Carlisle's down.
Yeah.
And they are all in this.
It's intense when the commentators say, have a look at this.
Someone's down. Have a look at this.
No one throws punches anymore. They throw those little jersey punches. You've seen that, the latest one? That's this has one. Been going on. They hold onto the jersey and pretend to push, but their knuckle hits them there.
Oh.
Do you want me to do it to you?
No, but thanks. Thanks for the offer, if I ever do.
It's not a proper punch, and they pretend it is, but there wasn't even any of them.
Okay, but anyway, it's been revealed this morning that the reason for that melee was about Mark Murphy, who, of course, is the star of Carlton. And apparently one of the St Kilda fellas was having a crack at him about his wife, because there's been rumours going around for about 18 months that those two had an affair. Now,
No, hold on.
No, you've missed someone. No, but you've missed the
duck.
The sledge is that...
Don't miss the duck.
Yeah, the sledge apparently... Because you didn't mention Wayne Carey when you said that.
Oh,
she's saying that, Mark Murphy's wife had been with Wayne Carey at some point.
I stopped talking sport. I get confused very easily.
Yeah, so you should have just concentrated on Mark Murphy's wife. I've just Googled her, and she's a former model turned blogger, and she's got 140,000 Instagram followers and pushes things such as health and fitness, celebrity style, travel and hair extensions.
Right. Is she the only
one that
got
some substance to her, this girl.
that's a market that hasn't been exploited before.
Give me that list again. Look at her. Wayne Carey. The rumour is Wayne Carey with her, she'd only be 26 or so. How old would the duck be now?
No. You can't. It's not true, so you can't.
Oh.
You can't start speculating. No, it's not true.
No, it's not true, because he actually had to come out overnight and say this.
I've probably been in contact with Murph now for the last year and a half. Yep. We've been on the phone constantly as this rumour and innuendo grew and grew and grew. Once again, I just want to say I've actually never, ever, ever had a conversation with Mark Murphy's wife, so I don't even know her.
Yeah, sorted.
Okay.
Hold on. That's a choice of words.
What? I want to talk about sledging, but you two keep going as you unpack this poor woman.
No, we're not. We're not unpacking. Jesus, Robin, don't.
I'm just suggesting. I think the duck he may say that he's never had a conversation, but that's a choice of words.
Oh, I see you're splitting hairs there. I think that's just the duck's way of being like proper conversation.
Okay.
Yeah. Because
but what was the sledge?
Well, the sledge happened on the pitch.
But what did he say?
We don't know.
Duck's been giving it to your missus.
Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe not those words.
Okay?
We don't have to keep speculating as to what may have been said. But you know what it does prove, Robin?
What?
Once again, it proves over and over again that men, and in particular sporting men, gossip just probably more than any group of women you've ever met in your life.
Oh, they use it as mental disintegration. That's what they do it for, hopefully to separate that bloke's mind from football because he's supposed to be focused, but you start saying the Duck's giving it to your missus, you
so
start
is that
to think
a
about
legitimate
other things. No, he's
thing?
Not. He is not. Duck doesn't even know my wife.
Oh, does this go back to the theory that you've said to me that blokes are really simple? And that if you confuse them.
Oh, yeah. You give him two things to think about. He's not going to want a handball at all. He's thinking, hold on, did I see Wayne Carey's car outside my house? What was I doing? I was handballing, that's right. But what about the other one we had overnight? In terms of sledging, one of the greats. What? You going to bring it up?
Caitlin Jenner.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, we forgot. Thinking about handballing, weren't you?
No, I was trying to picture. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So, there was Caitlin Jenner was leaving a LGBTQI event in London, and the police have been called because some very unkind things have been yelled at Caitlin as she went past.
I'm not going to say it. Can anyone?
No, don't you try and drag me into saying it.
I already said Duck's been giving it to your missus. I can't say anything else.
It starts with, hey, Bruce. And ends with a piece of genitalia that Bruce may have had that Caitlin doesn't.
Has Bruce
Does that
still
work?
Robin Bailey.
Robin Bailey.
What? You are better
you
than
are
that.
Just unbelievable.
I'm just trying to help and do it in a way that is.
Has Caitlin still got one?
No.
The first
one
that
Bruce
you...
used to have?
No.
First which chance was the, you get.
Which was the bad thing about that sledge? Was it that they called him Bruce, show us your wanger, whatever.
Oh, that's it, mate.
Okay, you're having a crack at me.
I'm virtually quoting what happened. I'm dealing with the facts.
You're out of here, pal. It's just me and Ed.
See ya.
Do you have to call him Caitlin?
You're gone, mate.
Turn him off.
Can I talk dogs? Is it time for that?
Because
always.
Okay, here's some anecdotal evidence, which is then bizarrely got backed up by something that I read from a study that some vets have done.
Yeah.
I saw on the weekend there was a guy who was sitting outside at a table and he had two dogs with him, like large-ish dogs. And he was doing that thing where he was, I say is all dog owners, he was pretending that he had control over his dogs, but he had no control whatsoever. So
I'm with you on that. That's me and my dog at this stage, still getting it trained.
Yeah, right. Anytime someone went past, one of the dogs at least would jump up and go to like sniff somebody, or if another dog came past, they would all sort of do that thing where they all sort of stand up and get all frisky about it. And he was doing that thing where he's going, no, Scruffy, no, Paul, sit down, Scruffy, Paul.
I
can't remember the names of the dogs.
Yeah.
Clearly.
And he, in his mind, I could tell that he thought that he had control over these dogs and that this was an anomaly, Robin, this behaviour.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that that irks me.
Yes.
They're wild animals. None of you have any control over your pets. They're only agreeing with you in that moment if they think there's food to be had.
Well, they want something.
Yep. Can I back that up? Because I'm thinking about changing the name of our dog to Sorry, because that's all. Whenever I went for a walk, even yesterday, I said sorry to seven people on the way.
What did Teddy do?
Oh, he loves trying to jump. His tail's wagging, so it's safe. He's not going to take him, but he just jumps on. He wants a pat.
Yeah.
Sorry. Sorry, I may as well just call him sorry.
Bloody I'm not hell. Suggesting that these dogs were vicious in any way, not at all.
No.
They were pleasant dogs. Then I saw a woman who had a dog sort of a little bit later on, and the dog was just sort of like standing there looking at her and rubbing her leg, and I thought, I reckon that dogs prefer women. And then here I am. There's a study by some vets coming out of, I think this is the UK, saying that many dogs express a clear preference about which people they like and don't like. But in the main, dogs prefer women.
Oh, why?
I wanted to put that softer voices, calmer.
We're nicer.
They feed them more. They feed them more and they let them on the bed.
Yeah, we let them do what they want
Blokes
more.
Blokes are harsher.
Like, I'm pretty harsh with Ted, with our dog.
Whereas Kath's
just
lovely.
Oh, mate. Kath feeds it so much food. I want to run a lean dog. Kath's feeding it food and patting it, and the dog loves her.
Well, there you go. Arrestamato's just rested everyone's case.
The minute the dog puts a paw on the lounge or anything, I'm onto it, and no one else in the head. Like, Kath lets it get it. Oh, look at it. It's so cute.
Yeah,
that's what it gets. Of course, the dogs love women more.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
So we're all in agreement, because I wanted to put it out there. I wanted to see if that's the theory. That's what we're going with. I know that dog people are very passionate. Does the dog, if you're a lady...
I think you're right.
I don't know, though, because Caesar Millan, the great, you know, dog whisperer, would say that...
What does Caesar say?
Where did that come from?
Well, there's one dominant head of the pack in a dog world.
Yeah.
And usually it's the dominant person in the household, and a lot of households that would be the man.
I would have loved to have seen the dog, you know, the wolf pack of those little white furry things. Are they
fluffy
really
muffins.
A pack animal, those things that are 8 inches tall and white and fluffy? Yeah, are they a pack animal?
They're a dog.
That's the theory.
They're run by everyone.
Dogs prefer women. Are you in a house with males and females and dogs? Who do they prefer? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you think you're the boss. You're the leader of the pack. And the dogs prefer you. Who do the dogs prefer, men or women? Maybe it's just whoever feeds the dog.
No. My boys feed the dogs.
Your boys feed the
dogs? Yeah, we have a roster next to the fridge and they're on depending, and they have to walk. I consistently walk with one of the dogs, and then a boy, depending on who's on the roster, will walk the other one with me.
I'm the only one who walks our dog, and it prefers Kath. She feeds it.
Yeah. Well, but the boys feed it. So anyway, Brian of Rochdale.
Good morning, Robin. How are you?
Good, thank you. What do you reckon about your two Kelpies?
Well, I've got a male Kelpie and a female Kelpie. My wife feeds the dogs, grooms the dogs, baths the dogs, walks the dogs, runs the dogs. I come home, they abandon her, straight to dad. Love
yes.
that.
God.
Why? Why, Brian?
What is it?
I'm not no elf. Like, I heard you talking about that fella from America, the dog bloke. I'm no alpha male. Like, I'm their best mate. I love them and give them cuddles and kisses and... I pick them up and carry them around the house like babies, and they look at each other like, I'm next. No, get out of it, I'm next.
Oh,
yeah,
God.
There we go. Yeah.
But they're the greatest guard dogs as well, you know what I mean?
They are the best guard dogs, are they?
The one thing about Kelpies, you can't raise your voice with them. You can't even give them a stern word, or they bolt. They just go to bed. Oh, I didn't mean it, I'm sorry.
Oh, go to bed. Marto's
like
that, Brian.
Tip. No, I got two Kelpies. You're right, go to water.
Kate of Manly, what do you think about dogs? Are they, you know, you or your hubby?
They're my, well, they're me half the time, but the minute my husband comes home, it's who am I? I've got two staffies, females.
Yeah.
I pamper them like there's no tomorrow. I walk them, I feed them, I do absolutely everything.
Oh,
he walks in and then it's sort of like, who am I?
Oh, that's a disgrace.
That's hurtful. That's hurtful, Kate. That is hurtful, isn't it? That's hurtful. Yeah, that's hurtful.
Why is it, Kate? What do you reckon?
He reckons that he treats them mean. So if they're not, he pushes them away all the time. So he thinks I'm constantly giving them attention and he's not. So they're trying to impress him to get more attention.
Emotional blackmail of dogs.
Wow. Wow. Okay, thank
There's
you,
a
Kate.
Psychology
they
there.
Might have got your research wrong here. Yeah, it seems to be dogs prefer men.
But they weren't willing to maybe go into the psychological warfare.
You ever seen dogs are fascinated if you do a wee on a tree? Geez, they're fascinated because they always, the whole thing about cocking their leg on trees and stuff is to say the biggest dog in the world has just been on this tree. So
but that's
they just
in public.
Go,
do you normally go straight after your dog does?
No, I mean in your backyard.
Okay, so
if you're doing a wee in your backyard on a tree, they are fascinated by how tall they go. What was going
so
on?
So do they then put another wee over the top of it?
No, they won't. They'll give up then.
Yeah, well, it is your
wee. That's a hard one for you to join in on, Robin.
Yeah,
sure.
Right. You won't win that one.
No.
One more.
Andrew of Morrowfield.
Morning, how are you?
Male or female, the dog loves more.
Yeah. Oh, definitely me.
Wow.
I came in later into the relationship, so it's a mother-son relationship, and then when he's about 4 years old, I turn up. He's 9 now.
Yeah.
He absolutely is my best friend.
Wow.
Now, we share both. We both walk him, we both feed him, but I get home, he's right next to me. He'll lie next to me. My partner, she can't actually come over and snuggle next to me because he just gives her the evil eye, like going, what are you doing? What are you doing over there?
And it was her dog.
Yeah, absolutely.
What a disloyal mongrel.
Yeah, Robin.
But I've taught this. The dog, we don't have to walk on a lead anymore. It can walk next to us, you know, cross the road. Okay. Yeah, it listens.
Yeah, because it loves you so much. It wants to please you.
Of course, it loves me.
Who picks up the poo if it does it while you're walking? Her, your wife?
If we're both walking, yeah, mum has to pick it up. That's not my job.
Oh,
that's why you have kids, Marto.
Very uneven relationships we're finding out here.
It's Marto Ed and Robin, the new Triple M. We just played Last Person Standing, a little dose of trivia every morning on our show. And question four was answered by Paul from Birkdale. He did get it correct with this answer.
Question four, in what year did Neil Armstrong become the first man to set foot on the moon?
Well, that's debatable, did he?
Yeah, Paul. I love it.
That's the correct answer.
A bit of a conspiracy there from Paul early this morning.
I love that.
You don't legitimately believe it's a hoax, or do you?
Well, hold on. A lot of people have said that Walt Disney produced the whole thing. Stanley Kubrick directed the movie. It's called computer generated. That's what a lot of people have said that over the years, and I haven't been there. Why hasn't Australia been up there? Why isn't there an Australian flag up there? If it was that easy, 40 years later, we surely could have made it.
Billions of dollars, and we don't have the space race like the Americans do, and we weren't trying to prove it to the Russians.
Gina Reinhart, she's got enough money. She could have gone up there, or James Packer.
What do you think, Ed?
Oh, no, I believe that we definitely went to the moon because I just cannot see what the point would be to fake it. But
no,
wasn't it
to beat Russia, wasn't it?
It was a space race.
Shove that in your face, Russia. We're smarter than you are.
Let's not speculate when we've got experts on the line.
Have we got experts?
I think it's Ziggy. Ziggy's from North Lakes. Now, Ziggy, you believe that the moon landing was faked. Is that correct?
No, the moon landing was real.
Oh.
Okay.
We apparently, this is what I've got from watching documentaries and stuff. We saw that the astronauts placed mirrors on their landing sites where they landed. And if you were to point a laser beam at the at that mirror, it would come straight back.
Yeah. On the moon. So if I point a laser at the moon at the right spot, it'll bounce back at me. Is that what you're saying?
That's correct, yes.
Okay.
Wouldn't we, you know how they said, I think there were six went there between 1969 and 1972, correct? Everyone right with that?
Yeah.
There were six missions. Now, six of them put their flags up. One fell over one day when they blasted off. Shouldn't we be able to see those flags?
Yeah, if you go to the moon.
If you had a really good camera, though. What is everyone else saying? Is there anyone saying it didn't happen?
Well, I like Tony. Tony said it would have had to have happened because someone would have spilled the beans by now.
That's true.
Well, hang on.
Dead.
Neil's died. Buzz is still gone.
Is he?
Yeah.
Yeah, but wild on. He's making millions each year saying, oh, yeah, went to the moon. He's not going to spill the beans either. He's on a soft gig.
I just don't, I can't, like, I'm with Ed. Like, why would they spend all of that money? You would, and how do you fake something like that?
How do we know how much they spend? Have you seen the invoices?
Oh, okay. So when the rocket took off from Cape Canaveral, where did it go?
Did it even take off?
Is
Cape Canaveral real?
Oh, God. Yes.
Hollywood's amazing. All day. Have you seen some movies?
Yes.
Me too.
Majority of our callers said it happened, so.
Oh, did they?
Thank God.
Must have happened.
Oh, God.